client stared at the logo on my screen for a long moment. Then she said, "It needs more energy." I had already spent 2 hours preparing to change the color.
Color?
Color. Usually color. I was ready to make the blue brighter, the orange louder, maybe add a sharper angle somewhere. But when I asked, "More energy where?" she pointed to the empty space around the name. The problem was not the palette. She wanted the business name to arrive faster.
Wait, that is the whole problem in one scene. The client offered a feeling, and you almost answered with a random visual change.
Exactly. And here is my strong opinion for today. What do you think is often one of the worst approval questions in design? It turns a business decision into a taste contest. Today, we are replacing that question with something more useful, a shared picture of what the design needs to do and the visible choices that help it do that.
And that problem does not stop at logos. I hear the same thing around storefront signs, printed menus, vehicle graphics, social ads, trade show displays, and web pages. Someone says, make it stand out, while the actual issue is that the message is too small to read from 20 feet away.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors, to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling with my co-host, Wendy.
And I am here to make sure we do not turn a useful idea into a lecture. We are going to observe what people are reacting to, translate that reaction into design language, and then approve the work against a purpose instead of a mood.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of crafting logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper.
From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. Grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing. Stick around. Your imagination's about to get an upgrade.
Let me try the client phrase again. I like it, but it needs more energy. What should a designer ask next? More color? A sharper angle? Larger type? A different photograph? A completely different idea?
Or none of those. That is the uncomfortable answer. Energy sounds like an instruction because it is a strong word, but it does not identify the visual cause. It is an impression, not yet a direction.
So the designer hears an assignment, but the client has really handed over a symptom.
Yes, and symptoms are useful. If a client says, "This feels too cold," do not shut that down with, "Please use proper design terminology." Ask, "What are you seeing that creates that feeling?" Then listen. Maybe it is the color. Maybe the type is too formal. Maybe the photograph has no human presence. Maybe the layout is so spacious that it feels distant.
I want to push back on one thing before we go too far. A reference board or a vocabulary exercise can create false confidence if it never shows scale, material, or viewing distance. A design can feel warm on a laptop and disappear on a window.
That is a good correction. The shared picture cannot be only an emotional picture. It has to include the real places where the design will work.
Right. If a sign has to be understood by someone driving past, the question isn't simply, "Does this feel premium?" It is, "Can the business name and service register quickly, in daylight, at distance, with the available materials?"
I am writing that down. Emotional criteria plus environmental criteria.
Exactly. A shared visual vocabulary protects both sides. It protects the client from feeling ignored, and it protects the designer from guessing. It also protects the creative idea, because intuition becomes explainable without becoming mechanical.
That last part matters. Personal taste is not automatically a brand requirement. Someone may love ornate lettering, but ornate lettering may not help a neighborhood medical practice communicate clarity and trust.
Taste can start the conversation. Criteria should guide the decision. We can respect, "I love this," and still ask, "Will this help the right people recognize, understand, and choose the business?"
And sometimes the answer is yes. We are not trying to correct every personal reaction. We are trying to discover whether the reaction connects to the assignment.
When I need to slow a vague conversation down, I use six places to look: hierarchy, shape, spacing, type, imagery, and tone. Not a test, not a recipe, more like a flashlight.
Start with hierarchy. What gets noticed first?
Yes. If someone says it does not pop, ask what they want people to see first. The answer may reveal that the headline, logo, and supporting message are all competing at the same volume. The fix may be size, contrast, placement, or simply removing a distraction.
Spacing is often felt before it is named. Crowded spacing can feel anxious. Generous spacing can feel calm or premium, or too quiet for the audience. So if a client asks for more impact, adding elements may be the wrong move. Removing clutter might create the impact they want.
And on a sign, spacing is not decoration. It helps letters survive distance and glare. A beautiful word mark with no breathing room becomes a dark stripe from across a parking lot.
From a moving car?
From a moving car, in daylight, while someone is also watching traffic. That is why I want production reality in the conversation early, not as a disappointing surprise at the end.
Typography gives us another set of signals. Formal, friendly, technical, handmade, established, youthful. I try not to ask, which typeface do you prefer, too early, because that can turn the meeting into a font popularity contest.
A dangerous sport.
Extremely dangerous. Ask instead whether the words should feel authoritative or conversational, compact or airy, traditional or contemporary. That gives the designer room to translate strategy into a type treatment that can actually function.
Imagery asks what the picture is doing. Is it explaining the offer, showing a person, setting a mood, or giving the brand a sense of place? And tone is the overall result. Calm, energetic, expert, playful, grounded, luxurious, local, or welcoming.
Here is the practical move. Do not ask 10 questions when feedback is vague. Ask one observable question. Should the offer be the first thing people notice? Would rounded forms feel more welcoming? Do we need more breathing room? Should the type feel established or current? One answer narrows the path.
Designers are often tempted to defend the work immediately. We hear, "I do not like the color," and our brain starts preparing a speech about color psychology.
We want to prove the design is intentional, but try replacing, "Here is why I chose that," with, "Tell me what the color is making you expect." Information first, explanation second.
And if they say it feels childish, ask what creates that impression. Bright color, rounded lettering, an oversized illustration, a character's expression. Childish is not the final verdict. It is a door into evidence.
Now let us build the reference board. Not a collage of everything you personally find beautiful. A purposeful board should help the client compare directions and recognize the boundaries of the project.
And it should show more than polished inspiration. Include at least one example of how the direction behaves at a useful size or in a real environment. Otherwise, the client may approve a feeling that cannot survive production.
That gives us four questions for the board. What should the brand feel like? What should it avoid feeling like? What visual behaviors might create that feeling? And where will those behaviors have to work?
I like the word behavior. A reference image is not an order to copy the color or the exact style. It might demonstrate open spacing, direct photography, a friendly shape, or a clear information hierarchy.
Exactly. Then place two contrasting references beside each other and ask, which feels closer to the way you want customers to experience the business? Not,
Do you like this board? A board is not a popularity contest.
Ask which feels more trustworthy and why, or which would be easier to recognize from a distance. The client does not have to invent design language from an empty screen. They can react to a visible difference.
With signs, I might show a dense message beside a short message with stronger contrast. Then I ask, which one can a driver understand sooner? If they choose the simpler one, we have learned something measurable. The business name and service need to register quickly.
Once you hear useful words, write them down exactly. Welcoming, but not childish. Premium, but not distant. Modern, but not cold. Recognizable from the street. Those paired phrases are powerful because they reveal the tension the design has to solve.
Most real brands are balancing something. Bold, but not aggressive. Personal, but not homemade. Established, but not old-fashioned. If you only capture the first word, you miss the boundary.
Then turn the words into a short creative direction. For example, create a welcoming identity for busy neighborhood families. Lead with clear, friendly typography. Use rounded but controlled shapes. Maintain generous spacing and keep the palette warm without becoming childish. The design should feel established enough to trust and energetic enough to notice.
That is something a designer, printer, sign fabricator, and social media manager can all use. Then add the reality check. What happens on glass, on paper, on a phone, and at the smallest useful size?
And it still leaves room for a creative judgment. The client and designer agree on what success needs to feel like and what it needs to accomplish. The designer decides how to express that responsibly.
I am not sure I buy that completely.
Good. Say more.
I agree with the method, but I worry that designers will turn the six lenses into a checklist and flatten the work. They will ask, is the shape rounded or angular, and think they have solved the brand. A design can satisfy every category and still feel lifeless.
That is a fair correction. The lenses locate the conversation. They do not manufacture originality. Intuition, craft, cultural awareness, and strategy still shape the idea. The shared picture should make the creative space clearer, not smaller.
There it is. That is the sentence I wanted.
And sometimes the creative move is to challenge the stated preference. If a client wants a busy, colorful design because every competitor is colorful, ask, could a simpler signal help you become easier to recognize? Different is not automatically better.
Especially if different makes the business impossible to understand. A distinctive sign that nobody can read is not a breakthrough. It is an expensive mystery.
Let us practice. Picture two storefront signs for the same neighborhood bakery. The first is dark green with a large cream-colored name, wide spacing, and one simple wheat symbol. The second is bright coral, filled with hand-drawn pastries, a curved script name, and several lines of smaller information.
Do not decide which one you like yet.
Notice what the eye is doing. Which sign gives the business name stronger hierarchy? Which feels more energetic? Which might be easier to read from a moving car? Which feels more handmade? Which gives the eye more rest? Which tells you fastest that the business is a bakery?
You may prefer one. That is fine. Finish the sentence, I am drawn to this because, and complete it with something observable. The lettering is larger. The colors contrast more. The illustration feels personal, not simply because it is nicer.
Take one breath and look again. If you were the owner, which sign would help a first-time customer understand the business fastest? That answer may not match your personal favorite. That difference between preference and purpose is exactly what we are practicing.
Now test the signs in your imagination. Which has enough contrast for daylight? Which lettering could be cut cleanly? Which one could become a small online icon without losing its identity?
A minute of observation can save an hour of arguing, because you have trained yourself to describe what the eye is actually doing. Now, imagine a fictional project for Harbor House Wellness, a small studio offering yoga, mobility classes, and guided meditation. The owner says,
I want it to feel premium, but warm, modern, but not sterile, peaceful, but not sleepy.
That sounds clear until you have to design from it.
Exactly. So before opening a logo file, ask what the owner wants a new visitor to do. Maybe the answer is feel comfortable enough to book a first class and confident enough to purchase a membership. Now the identity has a job.
And where does it have to work?
A front window, a booking page, a class schedule, social posts, and a sidewalk sign.
There is the part people forget. The front window may have glare, the schedule may be viewed on a phone, and the sidewalk sign may be seen by someone walking past for 3 seconds.
Right. We create two contrasting routes. One is quiet and editorial, warm neutrals, elegant typography, open space, minimal imagery. The other is grounded and human, softer shapes, a hand-drawn detail, warmer color, and photographs showing real movement.
The owner chooses the editorial route because it feels premium. Then she sees the first logo concept and says, "This is too cold."
That is where an undisciplined process starts throwing solutions. Add color, change the font, put a person in the image, maybe add a leaf.
Please do not add a leaf just because the brand is peaceful.
Exactly. Ask instead, what feels cold? The color, the lettering, the symbol, or the amount of empty space? In this example, the owner says the symbol feels too formal and the type feels distant. She does not mind the spacing.
So you preserve the hierarchy and breathing room, but explore a more human shape and a friendlier typographic voice.
And you test the mark at the front window before anyone declares victory. If the symbol is delicate, it may look beautiful in a presentation and vanish against glass or morning glare. The feeling has to survive the environment.
The revised direction becomes, keep the calm hierarchy and generous spacing. Replace the formal symbol with a softer, more tactile gesture. Use type that feels personal without becoming casual. Maintain enough contrast for window graphics, schedules, and mobile screens.
That is dramatically better than make it warmer. It tells everyone what to protect, what to change, and where the identity has to function.
In this illustrative scenario, the team moves from 4 rounds of broad, uncertain revisions to 1 focused adjustment, not because the owner suddenly becomes a designer, and not because the designer gives up judgment. They simply have 3 agreed criteria to use when reviewing the work.
And that saved time can move into implementation. The team can test the window graphic, prepare the printed schedule, and make sure the customer experience matches the promise, instead of spending the entire project debating the first sketch.
This is also why I do not end a presentation with, "So what do you think?" That question is wide enough to swallow a project.
What do you ask instead?
Start by restating the agreed goal. Then point out the observable decisions. Finally, ask for a decision against the criteria. For Harbor House, that might sound like, "We wanted new visitors to feel comfortable booking their first class while seeing the studio as established and professional. This direction uses open spacing for calm, rounded forms for warmth, and strong contrast for the window and schedule. Does it meet those 3 goals?
That gives the client something to answer besides a giant emotional question.
Then separate 3 outcomes. What is approved? What needs adjustment? What remains unanswered? Approval is a decision. An adjustment identifies a change. An unanswered question tells you that more information is needed.
Add 1 production check. Where will this be seen at its smallest and largest? A logo may look perfect on the laptop, but if it loses its character at 2 inches wide, the system is not finished.
Approval is not only approval of a picture, it is approval of a usable system. A logo, sign, social graphic, and printed card may need different levels of detail while still sharing the same visual vocabulary.
And if the client asks for another direction after the criteria are clear, you can ask whether they are exploring or avoiding a decision. Those are not the same thing.
Exploration answers a question. Let us compare a more expressive symbol with a more minimal one. Avoidance sounds like, "I just want to see more." When you hear that, ask, "What would another option help us learn?"
That does not shame the client for wanting possibilities. It asks the possibilities to earn their place.
And it keeps production from becoming an afterthought. If another option changes the sign material, print process, or installation cost, that is part of the decision, not a detail to hide until the last meeting.
Let us make the whole method easy to remember. Observe. Translate. Approve.
Observe the emotional words, then look for the visual evidence behind them. What exactly is creating the feeling?
Translate reactions with comparison questions and the six lenses: hierarchy, shape, spacing, type, imagery, and tone. Keep the client's own words, especially the useful tensions.
Approve against purpose. Restate what the design needs to do. Identify the choices that support it and test the idea where people will actually encounter it.
That is the shared picture, a bridge between the client's instinct and the designer's craft. It does not replace taste, intuition, or imagination. It gives them a clearer place to work.
Try one comparison question in your next design conversation. Which direction feels more welcoming? Which makes the offer easier to understand? Which feels more established?
Then write down the answer immediately. If someone says, "I want it to feel confident but not intimidating," do not leave that sentence buried in meeting notes. Use it to evaluate every major choice that follows.
Finally, test one real-world application. Put the concept on a sign, a phone screen, or a small printed piece. A shared picture becomes stronger when everyone sees how the idea behaves outside the presentation slide.
If you want a reusable reference board and approval worksheet, register at mgwwstudios.com/submit. You will need to register to access the templates and downloads, and they are designed to help you capture the words, comparisons, and criteria that keep a project moving.
You do not need to wait for a major rebrand. Try this with a social post, a flyer, a presentation cover, a storefront sign, or the next illustration you review with a client.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Before you go, ask one comparison question this week. Ask what a design is doing, not only whether someone likes it. That small shift can change the entire conversation.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from M.G. Wallace Design Studios. If this sparks something in you, subscribe, leave a review, and share it with another creator who needs a creative boost.
And test the idea in the real world. The best design conversation does not end on the screen. It ends when the work helps someone recognize, understand, and choose.
Next time, we will explore how one strong visual idea can travel across different formats without losing its identity. Until then, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what is next. I am Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly.
Design brilliantly.
And connect creatively. That is the work. Thanks for being with us.